This episode is brought to you by Nourish and Flourish, a handcrafted, independent publication taking readers on a journey from the soil to the stars. Subscribe today at nourishandflourish.site.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported podcast network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. This year, we're celebrating 10 years of food radio. For the past decade, we've been taking you behind the scenes of farms, restaurants, breweries, school cafeterias, and more. It's been 10 years and we're just getting started. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that's him. It's gonna get you some.
Welcome back to the Speakeasy. I'm Souther Teague, reporting to you live from the future, from Studio 3A here in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. I've got my good friend Travis Tober in the studio with me. Hey, Travis, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm great. It's hot and humid out there today.
Man, it is Texas hot, I like to say. Texas hot, for sure.
Yeah,
it's nice and humid, and, you know, it's always a little bit hotter in New York when it's the same temperature as it is in Texas.
Right, well, we got that extra layer of city crud that gets all over us everywhere we go. Travis, I've known you for a couple of years. I've seen your face and your name around for even longer than that, but my audience may not know who you are. So let's start with, like, give me some info on how you got into our, you know, business of choice, and then we'll go from there.
I mean, the business of choice being, you know, bars and bar business and bartending, I've been doing for, I think now, 23 years. I mean, it's basically the only thing I know.
Codger. Like, old
time. me and Michael Parrish like to say, bartending in the 90s. I think he hit 89, I think we were talking about it, though. So, I mean, it's really the only thing I've ever known. Started in Buffalo, New York, got sick of the cold, moved to Florida, got sick of Florida.
Me too. Where in Florida?
West Palm Beach.
You know, I'm from Florida.
Oh, really? Oh, no. West Palm Beach. Weird city, weird town. But I got kind of burnt out there and decided to move to Las Vegas, because when you grow up in Buffalo, you're obsessed with two cities or two states, Las Vegas, Nevada as a state, and Florida, South Florida, like, because you grew up in Buffalo. It's freezing, it's cold, it's a depressed economy, you want to get the hell out.
So you're just looking for any place warm.
Yeah, and could bartend, travels well. You know what I mean? This is before, you know, this is, you know, early 2001 and, you know, late 90s, before, you know, the craft of bartending really got going. And it was more about personality and speed and, you know, jokes and having fun and stuff like that, which it is now. It's actually kind of coming around, I think, a little bit more to that, you know, as far as, you know, not totally, completely serious cocktails, which is fun. And then, you know, moved out to Vegas, you know, to follow that dream. You know, let's say if you're an actor, you go to LA, right? If you're a bartender, you go to Vegas, you know, because you can get that golden ticket, that bartender union job, you know, making $18, $19 an hour, benefits, you know, making, you know, six figures. You know, like, I, you know, like I said, I barely graduated high school. You know, I got, you know, a little bit of credits in college. So it was, you know, the blue collar way to make some money.
Six figures as a young man at that time.
Right.
I mean, that's a
that's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
That high hourly rate, because it was union, plus you still got tips on top of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when everybody, I lived in Vegas when it was the boom time. Like, it was, everybody was using their house as an ATM. And I actually left, you know, I started out at the Hard Rock Cafe out there, and I was working there. And, just, you know, I came from, you know, I was a corporate trainer for TGI Fridays.
That's my favorite part about you.
Oh, man. I you know what? It's my favorite part about me. Like, honestly, I really loved growing up in that system. And you know, I remember before, like, in Buffalo, I worked at clubs and bars. And then, you know, I got kind of, quote unquote, recruited to go work at Fridays. And I was walked in as the hot shot, you know, young, you know, 21, 22-year-old bartender. And then I actually learned, like, I didn't know how to bartend. Like, I didn't have a bar back doing everything for me. I didn't, you know, I had to, you know, I never had to make simple syrup before. You know, it's just kind of, sounds kind of funny to say right now, but, like, we didn't have that. You know, there was, you know, the TGI Fridays thing was, like, there's, like, 120 recipes you had to learn for, you know, before you got, you did 16 training shifts back in the day. You know, always the back in the day, you did 16 to 18 training shifts before you were certified, like, TGI Fridays bartender. which is pretty crazy. I mean, obviously it doesn't do that anymore. It's gone the way of, you know, making more money. And, you know, once you expand to thousands and thousands of stores that they have, you know, it's kind of hard to keep up that training program.
But I mean, that's what made it special, right? That was a rigorous program, and if you passed through that program, it was a point of pride.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I mean, the weirdest questions, like, they were like, "What kind of wood was the mud rollers that we used made from?" Like, that was a question on a TGI Fridays test. Like, that's pretty crazy to me, you know, thinking about, you know, now, and you know how that is. You know, it's definitely obviously different, but you kind of see, you know, it was like this time in like the early 2000s, like if you worked at Fridays, you could work anywhere, right? And then because of the training program, they knew it was great, you know, they were ready to go. And then, you know, obviously that disappeared, you know, and then, you know, I think like a lot of bars and restaurants and chains obviously didn't adapt to the times, you know, like they were coming, you know, I kind of recognized that in, you know, 2006, you know, I was like, well, I'm going to get on this train or, you know, nobody wants to hire, you know, chubby 35-year-old bartender. You know what I mean? So you gotta kind of make it your own.
Yeah.
And you know, kind of create your own environment. So, you know, moving out to Las Vegas, you know, like I said, again, getting back to, you know, people were using the house as ATMs. I was working at a gaming bar. You know what I mean? Just right. Like Kavanaugh's, and just slinging drinks and making, you know, $400-$500 a shift. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And then I wanted out. I wanted out of Vegas. You know, I needed to get out. So I was at, you know, the land of promise, Austin, Texas.
Yeah, what made you jump to Austin, Texas?
You know, Vegas? So it was kind of like a weird time in my life. I actually got married for like a year, and I moved back to Florida. And when I got back to Florida, you know, I was kind of always, even with like Fridays and you know, working at, you know, Hard Rock, I always just, you know, I always like studied drinks and you know, I really took bartending seriously. And I got an opportunity to open up Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in West Palm Beach, you know, grand, like $10 million build out. And there was a gentleman there who's the beverage director called Philip Raimondo, who I knew from my Fridays days from, you know, I think probably 7-8 years earlier. And, you know, we kind of connect. He's like, hey, I got this really great project. I'd love you to be like a trainer for Ruth's Chris Steak. I was like, what are you doing? He's, you know, fresh juice every day, classic cocktails only. We're going to do it in 123 stores. I need you to kind of travel around and, you know, help open up stores or retrain stores. They call them retrains. And you have to, you know, go see a bartender that's been at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse for 15 years and tell them, you know, you're not using that sour mix anymore. You need to make a lemon sour, fresh lemon sour every day, and, you know, fight that fight. You know what I mean?
Right.
The quality, which, you know, 2006, it was like one of the first major chains, I think, that went fresh juice, fresh everything, you know, classic cocktails, really cool steakhouse vibe. And you know, kind of like, you know, I think, you know, you've been doing it for a long time, too. I think, like, every 5 or 6 years, you go down a little bit, and you're just kind of like,
yep.
You know, and then this like kind of reinvigorated me, and I was like, oh, this is great. Somebody actually cares about as much as I do, you know, because I remember, you know, I was like the one kid that was fresh squeezing lime in the Cosmopolitans at, you know, at a casino bar, you know, so it's midday, right?
Yeah.
It's still stunning up. But yeah, then I, you know, I decided, you know, to get, you know, from Ruth's Chris, I moved back. Again, burnt out, didn't want to run anything. I was just running, I was bartending in a crappy casino, making great money, you know, working four shifts a week.
But probably seeing that it had no future.
Right? Yeah, 100% knew it. Didn't have any future. I was just burnt out, and I just needed to, like, step back. And that's, you know, then I started self-studying again, like, okay, it's time. I want to get out of here. What's my exit route? You know, again, being, you know, limited education and, you know, limited means for my family. You know, I was like, well, I want to get to Austin, Texas. I think this cocktail thing's got legs. You know what I mean? It's 2005 right now. I'm sorry, 2008, 2009. I mean, this cocktail thing's going somewhere. It's not going away. It's not a fad. You know, you can find.
I feel like it all circles back to education, right? You can't unring that bell. Once you teach the public that there's something better and it can be made and can be done in a cost-effective way, they're never going to go back.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's here to stay.
Yeah, for sure. It's here to stay. And I think it all comes down to hospitality, actually, which is great, which I think we're getting back to, you know, I mean, you know, I took, you know, my girlfriend around last night in New York and just like, you know, watching you bartend and being, you know, who you are and going to see Nacho and seeing how he is and, you know, Masa and like all these guys and gals that are just doing like this great hospitality and just like being super nice and getting back to that, you know, the art of, I like to say, like, that person, you know, doesn't bartend, they tend bar. You know, there's a big difference between bartending and tending bar, and I like to think that, you know, in the vein of it. I tend, you know, I tell my staff all the time, you guys are all better bartenders than me, but I'll tend the hell out of this bar, yeah, and high fives and handshakes all the way through and you know, get people to show up. You know, yeah, that's what it comes down to. But yeah, man, just trying to get to Austin, Texas. So started working at RM Seafood in Las Vegas. It was like kind of like the precursor of the cocktail bar. And there was, you know, basically right around the same time Herbs and Rye opened up. I think Herbs was maybe like four or five months after that program that started with a gentleman out there, J.R. Starkus. I think he works for Southern Glazer still as like their head, you know, cocktail guy and stuff like that. But, you know, learned a lot there. And like I said, I definitely was on day one. I must have been the first five guests inside Herbs and Rye, and just kind of blew my mind a little bit and just kind of opened it up. And, you know, but I decided to get that resume padded and go to, you know, Austin, Texas, where it was just starting to take off. You know, I mean, I was that dork that Googled, you know, best bartenders in Austin, Texas, and, you know, a few people, you know, popped in and popped up. You know, so I went to Austin, Texas on vacation and landed and, you know, had great food and great drinks everywhere. I was like, this is it. This is where I want to be.
Did you have any connections there, or did you just pack
nothing
up and go?
Packed up and went. Honestly, packed up my dog.
Did you do some research? Like, what made Austin shine?
You know, it was kind of, this is like, I got there maybe 2 years before the big boom in Austin. It was just, you know, great weather. I just don't do cold anymore. I can't do it. I love New York. New York City's my second favorite city ever. I just can't do cold, but it just seemed, you know, when I was actually moving from Florida to Las Vegas, I went through the middle of Texas, and for some reason, I like, fell in love with it. You know, mm-hmm. The people are really awesome, really, really nice. I went on vacation one time in Austin, actually bought a house in 2006 and ended up not moving, you know, and, you know, backed out on that deal. But, you know, just something about Austin, you know, it's, you know, if you ever get there, you get drawn in, you know, and you get sucked in and you just nice people, great weather, good food, you know, laid back, you know, dogs everywhere, you know, there's dogs in bars, whatever, you know, it's just kind of like a really, really good quality of life, you know, and like, you know,
larger town, small town mentality.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just, it's super friendly. You know, it's fantastic. And it's, you know, it at that time, it was really, really reasonable to live. You know what I mean? It was super inexpensive. And, you know, getting there. And it was, honestly, like, I went with the mentality to open a bar, with wanting to help grow that community. You know, like I landed, you know, I think the next day I was at like a USBG meeting and I met, you know, Daniel Barnes from Treaty Oak Distilling. And, you know, I met him and the guy was like, you know, he's like 5 years older than me, but he owned a distillery. I'm like, this is nuts. Like, this can happen. You know, this right. is, you know, I'm not used to that. I'm used to, you know, like Vegas, you know, it was always just nameless corporations that own, you know, bars. Like Necktie was one of the first ones to do like a really like mom and pop cocktail joint. And, you know, moving to, you know, Austin, seeing that a guy 5 years older than me owns a distillery just kind of blew my mind. You know, I met Adam Harris, was like one of the first person I met. He's like the National Makers guy now, and, you know, slowly becoming more Kentuckian, morphing from Houston Texan to Kentuckian. And it was just a really good vibe. Like, I didn't know anybody there. I walked in, I was like, hey, I'm the new guy, you know, in town. What do I do? And like, you need to go to San Antonio Cocktail Conference. And I'm like, what the hell is that? They're like, just go. I literally bought a ticket, didn't know anybody, went on down and had a blast. It was the first year of it.
Right.
And I kind of laugh with the creators of it. They're, every year, they're like, you were the only one to buy an all-access pass that year. And I bought it like the day before. And it was just like, you know, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to go all in, you know, right. and really try to, you know, I say about Austin, you know, a lot is that, you know, if you love Austin, you know, you love Texas and you love that city, I'll take care of you. It'll really embrace you. But, you know, don't ever be that guy like, well, back in Chicago or back in LA or back, you know, we hate that.
Yeah.
You know, we want you to bring your own, but we want you to also adapt to how, you know, I guess Austin is. And I've done it and I love it.
Yeah, you're crushing it down there.
Yeah.
Well, that seems like a great place for a pause. Let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. We're going to come back and keep talking to Travis Tobel about what's going on currently and what's in the future in Austin and elsewhere in Texas. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Nourish and Flourish, a handcrafted, independent publication taking readers on a journey from the soil to the stars. Nourish and Flourish showcases thought-provoking stories from around the world and stunning photography. Each issue explores emerging trends in food, nutrition, recipes, soil health, technology, regenerative agriculture, travel, and more. Volume 1 of Nourish and Flourish includes features on the Svalbard Global Seed Bank, the International Symposium on Bread, and ancient Hawaiian aquaculture. Are you interested in eating healthier and learning more about where your food comes from and living a more connected life? Subscribe today at nourishandflourish.site. For $29.99, you'll receive 3 issues. That's 38% off the retail price. Nourish and Flourish, connecting readers with the people and stories that make a difference in living a more balanced, healthier life. Subscribe today or find a retailer near you at nourishandflourish.site.
Are you enjoying this podcast? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. My name is Katie Kiefer, and I'm the host of What Doesn't Kill You here on HRN. Every week, I sit down with journalists, authors, scientists, or activists to identify and explain some of the key issues in our food system. I've done shows on food waste, labor issues, meat production, water, you name it, I cover it. You can find What Doesn't Kill You wherever you listen to podcasts and on heritageradionetwork.org.
And we're back on the Speakeasy. I'm sitting in the Studio 3A, the new Studio 3A. That's the new studio.
I like it.
Studio 3A is our mobile studio. Reporting to you live from the future, I've got Travis Tober hanging out with me. We're talking about how he got from Buffalo, New York to Austin, Texas, which is where you are now. And in the beginning of the show, you mentioned, you know, your travels down to Florida and Vegas, and you got up to where you are currently. We're going to move on from there, but you omitted one small thing. You are my favorite flair bartender. In fact, I think you're the only flair bartender who's ever flair bartended in one of my bars.
It was awesome night. It was great. We rewatched a video last night. It was, I can't believe I didn't drop anything. I mean, I unapologetically love flair. I was a flair bartender, 100%. I feel like, you know, there's a lot of
practical flair, or did you like?
I did practical flair. I did like they have like flair rankings. I guess like it's 1, 2, or 3 level in Vegas. And I leveled out. I think at level 2. But yeah, I mean, you know, again, you had to go with the trends, and you needed to set yourself from the apart. So I actually worked in, you know, when I was at, you know, when I was in TGI Fridays in Florida. It was flair competitions. I did one. You know, I went back for a small time in after Ruth's Chris. I went back to TGI Fridays in Vegas because they like kind of like we want all the flair back. And it was fun. You know, it's you know what, bartending's all about having fun. That's what that is. It kind of collapsed on itself because it kind of came too circusy, and I think it's come back to as more practical. You know, which is I guess kind of what you know cocktails did for a minute. You know,
yeah,
with the 20-minute cocktails, you know, and that kind of thing.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Like it's the same thing.
I wish the audience could see my face. Yeah, for sure. I'm totally in agreement with you.
I mean, I think we get so serious and we take it so good that we exclude other people, and bars are not, you should not exclude anybody ever. It's that cool kid atmosphere, that thing like, we're not doing this for us, we're doing it for the people that walk through the door.
Yeah. Talking about hugs and high fives.
High fives and handshakes?
Oh, sorry. Handshakes.
High fives and handshakes, man. That's our motto. That's our motto at Nickel City. Like everybody you walk into my bar or our bar, you know, my main thing is the coolest thing that you can ever happen to you when you walk into a bar is a bartender sees you, gives you that wave, and then already has a beer or a shot or a drink, whatever, already has that. You don't even have to answer. That's like the, again, like a Friday's thing, a corner bar theory. You know, and I like to say, you come into my bar, I tell everybody, like, you, there's this whole transaction when you come into a bar and you've never been there. Hey, how's it going? Can I get you? Da, da, da. Here's the menu. Everybody's got their own song and dance. At the end of that conversation, they give you a card. You know their name. So we just come on back and like, you know, hey, Karen, how's it going? You know, I'm Travis. This is Amanda. You know, this is Souther right here. He's visiting from New York. He's my buddy over there. Real great. You've ever been in New York? You know, just get that conversation started.
Yeah.
And that's less work that we have to do. You know, if you're introducing people and stuff like that. But, you know, I like to say, you come into my bar, you're going to get a high five or a handshake, one of the two. You know, whether when you first get there, you get a high five. When you leave, you get a handshake. You know, thanks for coming in.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't had the opportunity to visit Nickel City yet, but it's high on my list of places to go.
We would love to have you.
Well, we talked last night. We might try to figure out how to get me to
play. We're going to figure it out. We got a lot of people working on it right now.
Oh, yeah. Top men. Top men are hard at work.
You know, top people at work. You know, it's a small fee, 10% free. I'll take your manager, your Texas manager, Southwest manager.
That seems fair for a state that size. Well, talk to me more about what Nickel City's all about. How long has it been around? How did you concept this thing, and where's it at?
I mean, okay, so we opened up basically in the middle of Tails, you know, previous 2 years ago. So July 20th, 2017 is when we opened up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting ready to celebrate our second 2 year anniversary.
Is that a strategic move to open during Tails?
God, no. I wanted to open up 2 months beforehand.
Right.
You know, I mean, obviously with, you know, warrants, permits and stuff like that. And, you know, Austin, Texas, as amazing as it is, it's very hard to build something. As in, I'm sure it is in New York. You know, I wanted to open up 2 months early. It just came down to it, you know, and it was, we actually got delayed for 2 weeks. It was me and my partners literally sitting in a full bar, a built out bar, music's ready. You know, we couldn't even stock booze. We were sitting there playing pinball for 2 weeks, waiting on a signature from a fire department. And just like TikTok, we're losing money, you know, and as small business owners, you know, it's stressful. Hired a staff that's like, okay, let's be patient, guys. All right, let's have a pizza party. I don't want to lose anybody. Or, you know, let's come on, let's practice drinks. You know, there's only so much you can do, right?
Right.
Just sitting around waiting for a signature. It finally happened, and it was right at Tails. I canceled, literally had to cancel my flight. You know, it was opened up. Like, let's go, let's do it, let's go for it. And we did it. It's, you know, thankfully, been rocking ever since.
Yeah, you know, great set of priorities. Talk to me about what Nickel City is. Obviously it's a bar. What do you got? You get a music venue there as well, right?
We kind of came up with this thing that, you know, the anytime, any person bar. You know, it's a neighborhood bar. You know, we strategically do not use the word, you know, cocktails anywhere in the menu, anywhere in the place. Even on the front, there's two neon, say, cold beer mixed drinks. You know, because that's what it all comes down to. I kind of got this, you know, I don't know, like a vision, I guess. You kind of want to be ahead of it. And with my brand work, like you mentioned, you know, I was lucky enough to like travel to like 600 different bars and see trends in live time. And I was like, you know, this neighborhood bar thing is going to come back, kind of like the old man bar. You know, I grew up in Buffalo, so it was just kind of like a Rust Belt chic, I guess is what we called it. You know, so you know, it's basically the bar my grandpa hung out at in Buffalo. And it's funny, I got people from Chicago or Buffalo, my buddies that I know, they come in like, huh, I don't get it. Like, this is every crappy bar we've ever hung out at. I'm like, that's it. That's the whole point.
You do get it.
Yeah, it's every crappy bar. But, like, you know, my bartenders are super well-trained as far, not just in cocktails, but, like, you know, hospitality and just, you know, high-fives, handshakes. And you know, you can order a last word and nobody's going to, oh, yeah, great. But, you know, what kind of gin you want? This is how we do it, you know. There's, you know, we have 50 classic cocktails, and we constantly add onto the list of, you know, people coming in and wanting weird stuff or ordering stuff. But it's a place that you can have a shot and beer for $5, you know, or you can order some super rare whiskey, you know. We really want to be everything for anybody. Like, in a group of people that go out, there's two cocktail people, a couple beer people, a wine person, you know, somebody doesn't even drink. We want to be everything for everybody. We want to be the beginning and the end of your night, and a lot of times that happens, which is cool. You know, keep everything inexpensive.
And Nickel City's, you say it's a neighborhood bar, so I haven't been to Austin in, Jesus, maybe 20 years.
You won't recognize it.
Yeah, but so I don't know the layout very well. But so are you in the middle of it, or are you, you know,
well, this is
the edge?
So I mean, again, good fortune of, you know, we took over this bar that was called the Long Branch Inn, historic bar in Austin, Texas. Kind of it's been a bar in that site since 1935, and it was, you know, it was the east they call it the Rosewood neighborhood, so it's east of Austin. We have the good fortune of having great neighbors. We're like a 5 minute walk away from Franklin Barbecue, where everybody stands in line for 8-9 hours. You know, Aaron himself comes in after working, or his whole staff comes in. We give them free shift beers every day because, you know, we're right down the street from those guys. So we're in this kind of like funky, it's East 11th Street, Rosewood neighborhood that's got like funky little shops. We're the only bar that is grandfathered in to be open till 2 a.m, which is amazing for us. but we're also kind of a destination. You know, we have, there's like three restaurants down there, no real bars, you know. We're really close to the E6 district, which is like Bar Central.
Right.
But, you know, it's kind of like a funky little, and I was really nervous about going into it too. I was like, man, like, there's no other bars around here. But that's, you know, the strength is being in a bar district, because in Austin, you have so many bar districts, and it's just like bar hop, bar hop, bar hop. And like, you know, you know, opening a bar or restaurant, you know, you have that fear. What if I throw a party and nobody comes? Like,
I had that fear every day.
And, you know,
multiple times.
Exactly.
Because of multiple locations.
Yes. And that's what it is. It's just like, what if nobody comes? Because we're too far out. We're too this. And you know, honestly, it's been amazing. People literally make us a destination. It's the bartender, the chef hangout, the tourist trap, the artist hangout, you know, like, you know, I've gotten texts 3 times that, you know, Lucas Nelson, Willie Nelson's son has been in there, and I'm just like, damn it, why am I not there? But, you know, it's that kind of cool place. You know, Austin's kind of like, you know, it's that bar that you can go to and you get sucked in and you get treated like family, but, you know, nobody's going to give a shit who you are.
Right.
So that's always kind of cool.
That's great. Fun. Everybody knows my name, but nobody cares about it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's a great bar right
there. And we got this one regular, too. This is actually kind of a funny story. Who looks... He's not a regular, he's like once in a while, but I'm telling you, is the spitting image of Jeffrey Morgenthaler. So I get my young bartenders always thinking that this guy's Jeffrey Morgenthaler. And I'm like, oh, dude. He's like, oh, man. All right, cool. I'll take, you know, he takes care of him. And this guy always pays cash, but they literally believe that this is Jeffrey Morgenthaler. And they've seen him twice, and they always go, Morgenthaler was in. I was just like, you idiots. But, you know, that's me playing little jokes on the younger bartenders.
But it's also just, you know, making note of the fact that you're never going to, you know, call someone out or bother them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in New York City, of course, an embarrassment of riches in every regard, and even my tiny little bar, Maury Margot, sees its share of celebrities, and, you know, we have to protect them.
Yeah.
You know, when they come in my tiny little space and it's full of people, and I see, you know, David Schwimmer lives on my block, so he's in quite a bit, so we'll look kind of like, make sure that no one approaches him, make sure that no one's asking him for an hour. He just wants to come in and have a fucking Manhattan like everybody else.
Exactly.
You give him a break, would you?
Yeah, for sure. I truly believe in that, you know.
Me too.
It's just, you know, just everybody's people. It's the same thing like Austin, because we're just such a hot spot for celebrities and people living there, and, you know, it's a really cool vibe, you know, and Austin's a cool city, you know.
Let's talk about business a little bit. You mentioned that you are grandfathered in to be one of the only places that can be open until 2. What time do bars close in Austin?
They close at 2, but on our street, specifically our street, like, we're grandfathered in until 2 a.m. So, yeah, I mean, and I'll tell you, I'm a hard believer. If it ever comes up for, it's been mentioned a couple times, bars open at 4 a.m., I, even as a business owner, be like, no, not a good idea.
Yeah, it's a little bit of blood money at that point, right? Like, the money that you're taking in is a difficult crowd. It's, you know, things aren't as smooth from 2 to 4 as they are from, say, you know, midnight to 2.
Yeah, it's... I mean, I lived in Buffalo where I was going to 4 a.m. And, like, you know, Chris Rock said, nothing good happens past midnight. He's true. It's true.
Yeah.
And nothing really goes well. I mean, I was out till like 1:30 last night, and that was late for me these days. But, you know.
Well, thanks for visiting my bar.
Oh, man, it was great. As always, such a good time.
And let's dig in a little bit more to business. So, Nickel City, you opened just over 2 years ago, and you're thriving. You're about to open the second location.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, which is amazing. You know, Maury Margot was 7.5 years old before we even thought of doing anything. And then, of course, in the last 3 years we've done, or so in the last year we've done 3 new places, or I have, but I wasn't in a financial place to do. So talk about that. Like, how do you garner that sort of financial success that quickly?
I mean, you know, to be like perfectly honest, you know, we run a tight budget, we run a tight ship as far as, you know, finances and everything goes. We were really fortunate enough to get our investors their money back very quickly, and at that point in time, you know, it's just, you know, being a systems person, you know, a lot of my bar staff were, you know, every day we're working towards better systems and you know, where I can travel and not have to be there and you know kind of like, you know, Nickel City was never going to be a one-off, I don't think. You know what I mean? Like, I want to do other things. It's getting harder and harder to do business in Austin, and I think there, you know, it isn't that big of a town where you can have 2 Nickel Cities. You know what I mean? So we started looking outwards, and you know, we wanted to stay in Texas because it's a little bit easier, you know, to travel in between, and you know, we love Texas. It's been great to us so far. So we found an awesome old school Art Deco building in Fort Worth. right near downtown Fort Worth, this up-and-coming area called just south of Maine. And it's kind of like this old, you know, the same old story, you know, that old warehouse district that, you know, all the industry is gone, and then like let's redo this area. You know, we took a couple tours of some buildings in that area, and it just didn't have the heart and soul. And I remember looking quarter across and like kitty corner. I was like, "What is that building? Like the old flag store?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it's an amazing building, right?" Well, we'll call on it, and they called on it, and the guy met us out, and he's like, "Yeah, you know, we're renting a down level. The upstairs level is going to be, you know, a professional office, and downstairs we're looking for a bar restaurant." And luckily enough, that person, the real estate agent, knew of our bar and has gone a lot of times. And he's like, "Wow, really? This is awesome that you guys want to come here." And you know, Fort Worth, I just like been, you know, probably now a dozen times. It's just an amazing city. Just like amazing people, super nice. You know, it is, you know, if it was its own city, I think it's like the 15th largest city in the United States. I mean, you know, DFW itself is, I think, the fourth largest metroplex. So, you know, this is, you know, you got 45 minutes roughly in between Fort Worth and Dallas, but they basically lump it in together.
Sure.
As DFW, Dallas Fort Worth. But Fort Worth is its whole other thing. Like, it is almost the polar opposite of Dallas. You know, it's not as flashy, which I love. And it's just like I said, it's got this scene that's, it's not even fair to say it's up and coming because it's already there. But it's just got cool young professionals, high medical, medical fields all over there. You know, American Airlines home base is there. There's a lot of corporate like home bases, and it's just really thriving. And I think we're getting in at the right time. You know, and again, you know, as a business owner, you want the highest return in your dollar, right?
Of course.
So we're getting, you know, twice the size Nickel City for probably going to end up being like $3,000 less a month in rent. So trying to set yourself up for success, because we're maxed out at Nickel City. Like, you know, we're doing our business. It's hard for us to get any more money out of that place, just pure capacity. We're at capacity over capacity every weekend. You know, so we want to build it for growth, you know, and it's gonna be a slower build, I feel. But yeah, man, we're looking forward to joining the Fort Worth community and that really tight knit bartender group out there.
You said bar restaurant is what they were looking for. You're a bar. You're not. Do you serve food?
So we do. Yeah, we did this kind of cool thing that is kind of hitting on in Austin right now. We bought a food truck, and we hardwired it into the bar, so it sits outside of the bar itself. But we have separate branding on it. Like, you wouldn't know. I mean, you really don't know it's ours. Mm-hmm. And we hardwired it in there, so the bartenders can do food orders just like that. Here's the number. It gets ran out to you. You know, and like I'm talking, we do good bar food. You know, my partner's from Detroit, so it's Detroit style sliders and coney dogs.
Yeah.
And I'm from Buffalo, so I had to put wings in there. So it's bar food. You know what I mean? It's real simple. We do some specialty sandwiches now, getting a little bit crazy, but you know, we're gonna do the same thing there. We got, you know, same size, same setup, food truck outside, hardwired in. You know, if you serve food, you're just gonna be able to sell more booze. You know,
of course.
Honestly.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's been a good, I mean, we, you know, our, you, especially you being from New York, you would laugh at some of the prices. I mean, for like, we call it a slider, but it's like a little mini, you know, cheeseburger. It's like $3.15. So, you know what I mean?
When you leave New York, it's like traveling back in time.
I know, it's great.
Wherever you go.
Everything's so inexpensive.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Everything. It doesn't matter.
And it's true, but, you know, it's been good. You know, it's been difficult, you know, running, you know, like, we don't make money really on the food travel. Because, you know, we pay, you know, you have to, but we also want to, you know, we pay our, you know, the starting, you know, food guys, he's getting, you know, $13-$14 an hour, plus probably like $5 or $6 in tips from the bartender an hour. So he's making $20 an hour working in the, you know, food truck. It's not a fun environment. It's 100 degrees in there, you know what I mean? It's sure. It's super hot, and we don't make money on it. And we just do it to have fun and keep people around, and, you know, have a reason to go there at noon, you know? Because it's, you know, the bars are changing, you know, and if you the hardest thing to do is stay relevant. So it's like, we open up at noon now because we live in a place that people don't go to offices anymore. Like, you walk in at Nickel City at 12:30, people are having a burger and everybody's laptop is up and they're working, like they're at work. You know what I mean? So
sure, you got enough clientele that work quote unquote from home.
Yeah,
but their home is your place, or
yeah, exactly. Like, why not? You know, exactly. Go use our Wi-Fi and drink a cold Coors. You know, have a burger.
Yeah, capitalize on that market that's available, right?
Yeah.
Makes total sense to me. Like, what? What made you decide, I guess the question is, what made you decide to go, I'm gonna get out from behind the bar and get to the ownership side?
I mean, we had a little bit of conversation about it. Actually, after 23 years of being on your feet, yep. 10 hours a day, 60 hours a week, I mean, I was closing down Nickel City. It was like my third night in a row. And I literally had a conversation with my bar manager, Ty. I was like, I'm done closing. Like, I'll do some shifts here and there. I can't do it anymore. Like, I hurts to walk. You know what I mean? And operating on such a high level, you know, I hate to say it's a physical work, but physically and mentally, you know what I mean? To be always on, you know what I mean? To be always on, come in. You can't have a bad day being a bartender. To be a really great bartender, you can't treat, you know, somebody, you know, I've said this analogy before, and I've said it to the bartenders I've trained. You go, you don't know that person that walked through that door, read about Nickel City in Esquire magazine or something like that, doesn't make a lot of money, is a line cook somewhere, you know, an hour away, Georgetown, Texas, him and his girlfriend, literally scrimped and scraped, that's not even a word. saved, you know, $50 to come to your bar, Nickel City, or your bar, you know, and they read about it, they read Southern Teague's book, you know, they coming in there, and you had a bad day, so they have a shitty experience. That's terrible. Like, yeah. That's what weighs on me every day, is that everybody that comes in, you know, no matter if you're a billionaire, millionaire, thousandaire, hundredaire, you know what I mean? Like, you get the same experience. So, you know, you don't know who's walking through that door. You know, you don't know who's on that first date or who's, you know, like I said, literally, like, busting their ass to save money to go spend it and give it to you. So, you know what I mean? Like, that's, you know, that's the biggest thing. And I wasn't at my top of the game anymore. After 23 years, I was good. I mean, I was getting buried on Friday, Saturday nights. You know, I could keep up for sure, but it also cost me at the end of the night. You know, my girlfriend's, I get home at 5:30, 6 in the morning. I'm up at 9 a.m. no matter now, because now I'm an owner. I have to answer calls at 9 or 10 a.m. and get on conference calls and talk, you know, and build the business. It just wasn't healthy anymore, and I just needed to stop. You know, I still try to work like four shifts a month, so I can still see stuff. Mainly day shifts. I did a
four shifts a month.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I know. I love it. Well, I mean, I want to do Mondays anymore. I'm gonna fly in and do. But you know, I do enjoy it, and you know, we obviously, the way industry is now, we're granted the opportunity to do, you know, Nickel City pop ups. And guest appearances, and that's fun. You know, that's amazing. I really get to do that. It's that 2-hour rock star bartending where I can give it all for 2 hours, and after that, it's done. But you know, being on, like, I just really feel that everybody needs the best foot forward. And it's, you know, I tell my bartenders all the time, like, if you have a shitty day, get on the Slack, get a call, somebody text somebody, get it covered. We don't need, you know, somebody that's had a shitty day behind the bar.
And I agree with that.
Yeah.
However, the realities are, you can't always just take a day off.
That's true.
Money, right? So yeah. How do you train for that? How do you think you instill in your own team that's the notion? That couple you just described, they're coming. They're coming, yeah, every day. Right? It's a different couple, but it's the same scenario. How do you instill in your team, like, you have to set some stuff aside sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully they're paying attention to me. I mean, I think there's some that are paying attention to me, there's some that aren't, you know what I mean? You can't. You can put them under your wing, per se, and hope they listen to me. But I like to say, you know, I start out, we have a monthly meeting. I'll start out, you know, and basically it isn't a bitch fest or what's wrong, this, that, because we have that constantly ongoing, you know what I mean? We'll figure out stuff that's broken, we'll fix it. It's about, you know, hey, how do we make this place hum? How do we get it better? How am I making your guys' lives better? You know what I mean? Like, we have a pretty much a strict policy, 4 shifts max a week, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I want those 3 days off. You know, our bar managers, Amanda Cardo and Taiyi, I tell them, you know, do not let the distributors or the salespeople rule your lives. You know, have a 2-hour window for meetings, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. That's done. You know, after that, you know, stretch out your admin days. You know, I tell them all the time, like, I've made a lot of money in this business, and I probably spent way more. Like, I probably should have been retired probably 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, don't, you know, I call it that swing, man. It's that swing. So, you know, if you're not working that night, you're going to go out and spend $200. Because you got that mentality, you can go in the next day and make $250, $300, whatever. But in the reality, not working that night or taking that night off, you end up losing $600 because you didn't make $300 and you spent $300. Yeah. So it's $600. So, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, it's dreadful, but that's how I think about every vacation.
Yeah, no,
every vacation costs the bartender twice as much as any other buddy.
Yeah,
they're not getting paid for the days they're not there.
I know. I could have picked up like 4 shifts this week at Pickle City. It's light over there, you know. But now here I am on vacation. It's a tough life, you know. I mean, it's not for everybody, but you know, hopefully. You know, I learned a lot looking at some of the better bar owners, and there's a path now for, you know, I think Bobby Hugel kind of did the best where, you know, he found somebody like some 213 Hospitality out in LA. They do a lot of the same work, is where they find somebody that they like. And they're, you know, Bobby realizes he can't run 9 bars or 8 bars. So why doesn't he find somebody he likes and like, let's build that dream up together. I really would love all my bartenders I work with right now, especially right now, I have the best staff of all time that we've ever had. You know, give me 2 years of your life, you know, busting ass, running this bar and making us all money. And then let me invest in your bar. Like let's use our back of the house systems, you know, our real estate guy or our, you know, our GC and all that stuff that, you know, a lot of bartenders don't have access to. That was, you know, for years I didn't know how to open up a bar until I got my partners. And
I still know.
You know what I mean? Like, but now it's not like, hey, I got a plumbing guy, I got a AC guy, you know, we got all this access, you know, back house, we got, you know, accountants and stuff like that. We got systems in place. So if I can take, you know, one of my bartenders, be like, what do you want? What's your kind of bar? Okay, cool. Let's give it to, you know, our branding guys. Let's flesh this out. Let's tweak some things and let's make it ours. And here's the money. You know, you got sweat equity, but you got 20% ownership. You know what I mean? Bust your ass and let's all make money together. I think that's a good way, you know, if that, or, you know, like I said, man, if at this point in time I didn't own my own bar, with the next 4 or 5 years, I'd go right back to hotel bartending or an old Irish bar. Those are the two bars that old bartenders go to die. It's hotel bars and old Irish bars.
Yeah.
And they still make great money.
Still make great money and still get to do the thing and chat with people all day. You know, that's my favorite part of the job, honestly, is getting to talk to people and engage, you know. I spent so much time in the back of the house that, you know, when I got to the front of the house, it was a whole new world for me, you know, to get to be part of the experience that changed my whole life, you know. Talk to me about some accolades. Are you up for a Tales Award this year?
Yeah, we got a couple. The team did. Yeah, we're up for Best American High Volume Cocktail Bar.
I think I should be in that ring.
What's that?
I think I should be in that ring.
You're high volume. You're small, right? It's the thing. It comes down to
capacity. Right. Yeah, it's capacity.
It
makes no sense.
You guys up for a Best American Cocktail Bar, right?
Best American Cocktail Bar, world's best spirits list.
At
Mori Margo. I get it, but like the one that I always thought we would be competitive in is high volume, but then the rules are you have to have 100 seats or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and I'm like, pound for pound, I'm
no, there is not. I said that last night. There's not a bar pound for pound that puts out more booze than Rule of Mori Margo.
We punch above weight so hard.
100%. But
anyway, okay, let's go back to Nickel City.
But no, but honestly, like that's the one. I mean, that, you know, that you guys are up for. I mean, that's what it originally was, like cocktail bar. Like that's PDT. That's, you know what I mean. Like, you know. I mean, being up for High Vibe was, believe me, that's amazing. Like we were.
It's a testament to your fucking team.
Yeah, it really is.
Cranking out. You're not just cranking out. You're cranking out quality.
Yeah, cranking out quality. Cranking out fast.
Anybody can crank out.
Yeah, and we're up for Best American Bar Team, which is amazing. Like that's like the homie award. You know what I mean? Which is really cool. You know, the hardest thing to do is stay relevant. And you know, last year I was a little hurt last year because we did top 10 for Best New American Cocktail Bar and we didn't get it. We didn't get Final Four, which is great. I mean, I didn't expect it, but it was like, you know, when I opened Nickel City, I was just like, you know, I just want to open up a neighborhood bar. I don't care about awards. And then and then you get a little taste of like Esquire's Best Bars, and then, you know, Garden and Gun. That's a real magazine.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it's amazing.
It's a very important magazine.
Very, very important magazine to the.
They have a lot of 60 subscribers.
Yeah, like the 50 plus, you know, 250,000 a year plus. I know my.
It's folks who have money and who like to travel.
I know my Garden and Gun people when they come into Nickel City because I watch them park their Mercedes 7 Series across the. Walk over, and then when they walk in, they're like, "This is it."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Yep, that's it, Garden and Gun, baby." But yeah, no, you know, and it comes down to this, you know, and you know more than anything, you know, honestly, it's had to say what awards equal money. You know, honestly,
exactly.
It's, I mean, it comes down to the bottom line, and if we want to grow as a company, we want to open more bars. It just makes it easier if you have those awards. You know what I mean? To find investors, to be able to negotiate a better lease, to, you know, be, hey, this is who we are.
Yeah, I will tell you, just the same as you said, all day long, that I don't really care about the award.
Yeah.
I do care about the money that it drives. What I think is, like, it's great for morale for my team.
Yeah.
But my team's fucking four people. Fuck them. including me. Just three people. No, not fuck them. It's good morale for the team.
Yeah.
But it's also, it's me looking at the team and going, everything we've done together is getting you a raise.
Yeah.
There will be more people here.
100%.
They will be willing to spend more money. World's best spirits list. Even if we don't fucking win, we're in the top four in the world.
Yeah, we did.
It's incredible.
That's insane.
It's a closet.
That's
a bar in a closet.
Yeah, no, and it's a very great closet, sir. Very good, very awesome. But, you know, yeah, it's huge. I mean, you know, the amount of money that it could bring. We kind of did an analysis of year-over-year sales of pre Esquire's Best Bars in America list and post. And, like, we're up, I want to say, 35-40% in sales, which is insane. And, you know...
So some of that is obviously Esquire influence.
Yeah.
But some of that, of course, is your just natural growth and you're growing.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But getting people... I mean, like, now, like, you know...
But that didn't hurt.
Yeah, it didn't... Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, now with the information age, when you're a young couple or a vacation couple, like, best restaurants in New York City... Best bars in Austin, Texas, and it's that Google, you know, pops up, like, we pop up every time, and people are going to come, oh, great, I'll go to Franklin, I'll go over here and check this out and see what this is all about, and, you know, if it means an extra $20 a day, which means way more than that, you know, yeah, it gives my bartenders more exposure, more money, and we're all spoiled. I mean, when I was bartending at TGI Fridays in 1999, did I ever think a brand would come up to me and be like, hey, do you want to do like a pop-up in London Cocktail Week? No, like, that's unfathomable to
right.
You know, 21-year-old Travis. You know,
right.
I was just happy enough to make money. And, you know, that's my big thing now is, like, all my bartenders, you know, I had to kind of... You guys are very, very lucky. I go, everybody on my staff has been flown somewhere, whether it's me flying them out for something or, you know, a brand flying them out or touring something or, hey, we wanted you guys in Nashville for 2 days, like, for a whiskey that we don't even carry. Like, I'm like, I don't get it. But, you know.
Yeah, you're being wooed.
Yeah, being wooed, yeah. I mean,
because
like.
Because of your reputation.
For sure.
Because of the hard work.
Yeah.
You know, the phrase I use all the time with the team is, like, the harder I work, the luckier I get.
Yeah. It really is. It's hard. I mean, no, that's I always like to say I can out hustle most of the people still these days, and it's what it comes down to is hustle, and just don't be a dick. You know, be nice, high fives and handshakes. Be cool to people. Answer those text messages. Don't rake the awesome brand ambassadors and the brands that are spending money at your bars. Like, don't take advantage of that. I mean, that's my biggest pet peeve right now when I hear these horror stories of like. Somebody literally goes to a brand like, oh yeah, we'll put you on the menu for $2,000. Like, what? Like, what? Where do you get off? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of that pay to play out there. And we had a competition, you know, with a rum brand and they gave me a budget and I was like, I don't feel comfortable taking that much money from you guys. Like, here, let's do half. Because that's fair, and then come on back and do another event like down the road, like you know what I mean. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm running a business too. I'm not going to turn down money, but you know, I don't want to take a lot of these people. A lot of the brand people are our friends. You know what I mean? Eric Job, he worked in your bar. You know what I mean?
And they're just trying to do a good job too.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just
or
like
another business. Like,
yeah,
it's all business.
It's all business. Like, if we all stopped making money tomorrow, the bar business would go away. You know, and we'd all switch over to weed, which we're probably all on our way to switch over to weed.
Exactly. Nickel City. Where's the name come from?
It's my hometown of Buffalo, New York. That's our nickname. Actually, weird, like, it was actually it was called the Nickel City Cafe. It was a shitty 24-hour diner right in between the downtown Buffalo that all, like, four or five of our bartender buddies would all go to at the end of the night and, like, 6 in the morning, 5 in the morning, and we have flasks full of whiskey and just order eggs, and the waitress, we always tipped her, you know, $30-$40 a night, so she just let us sit there and drink.
Yeah.
And I always just loved the name, and it was just, you know, it's so hard to do original stuff these days, and you know what I mean? Like, what am I going to name it? You know, the last word, I think there's like 10 of them out there. You know, or pick a cocktail, you know. You know, finally we're over the ampersand.
Are we?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You know, but... you know, it's just trying to stay true to my roots, you know, that's it. I mean, I started bartending in Buffalo at this, you know, crappy bar called Classic Rocks, R-O-X-X. So...
Because that's classic. The name itself is a lie.
Yeah.
It's not even just classically spelled Classic Rocks.
Yeah. So, man, I gotta bring back that name. I want to do that for a cocktail or something. But yeah, man, it's, you know, if you're not doing something with some soul, you know what I mean, what are you doing it for? You know, like, it's got to have heart. And I think that's what's really helped Nickel City. It has heart. It screams 18-year-old Travis and, you know, 90-year-old my grandpa, which is great. And we've been very, very fortunate. We do a lot of programming. It is, it's a full-time job just getting these events going.
Just get the fucking doors open.
The hardest thing to do,
Show up.
I tell my bartenders, the hardest thing to do is get somebody to walk through those doors. I will get everybody to walk through those doors every day. It's my bartender's job to make them happy and get them to come back. And they're doing a great job of it right now, so it's amazing. That's why we're thriving.
If you want them to, if you want them to, how can someone get a hold of you?
Me personally,
yeah.
The easiest is probably Instagram.
I think we've all shifted
at
that, right?
TheTober.
TheTober, TLDR.
At TheTober, and honestly, like the Facebook or you know, if you deep dive into the Google of Nickel City, the phone number listed for the bar is actually my phone number. So I wanted a 716 area code like that on there, so I just kept it like that. But easiest, best is always Instagram, and you know, social media. Smoke signals work too these days.
Yeah. I swear to God, I'd rather a smoke signal or a carrier pigeon than email.
Yeah, email is definitely.
If you want me? Instagram is probably the way to get me.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, just hit me up or just tag Nickel City and something. I'll make sure it's somebody not talking shit about us trying to bring down the bar.
Come visit me at the bar. Right?
Yeah. Absolutely, come visit. You know, we do fun things. We got the repeat of Sippin' Santa coming up, which is always fun. Tiki Christmas. We're really gearing it up this year. We're really investing in that and making sure it's a total, you know, really crazy immersive experience. We just like having fun. Yeah, swing up at a bar. I'll be at Tails all week. We're gonna be doing a Nickel City pop up Friday night, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. at Rusty Nail.
That's your 2 hour.
Yeah, no, that's my 2 hour shift right there. And I might do 30 minutes straight. Like the whole staff will be there, so I might do 30 minutes. I'll be drinking a High Life on the other side of the bar. But 11 to 1, we'll be at Rusty Nail at Tails this year, and then. You know, we got some awesome, I still work with Aviation Gin. We got a cool pool party, a fry festival, we're calling it. It's like fire festival, but with six different French fries, pool party. That's going to be Saturday afternoon, time and date, or time and place to be determined. I know, but they haven't given me the flyer yet. And then, just every single damn cocktail week that we have out now, trying to do a Nickel City pop up. We need to do how they do that in Europe, like Nickel City X Marlon Mago.
Let's do it.
I think that'd be great. Let's find somewhere to do it.
It's tag team.
San Antonio Cocktail Conference. We're coming for you.
Okay.
I'm gonna make it happen. We'll find this cool little bar, and
there we go.
We'll do reverse. Okay, so this is gonna be it. We're gonna throw it out right now.
All
right. You guys can only do shaken cocktails, and Nickel City can only do stirred cocktails.
And,
no juice. All right. Let's do it. All right, I'm gonna find a place.
Excellent. Travis, man, what a great time having you on the show. Thank you so much for taking some time out and talking to me, and I look forward to all your successes, and I can't wait to visit Nickel City Original, and hopefully I'll get to visit Dallas Fort Worth as well.
Cheers. Southern Teague Texas tour is coming 2020.
It's happening.
It's gonna happen.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you.
Cheers.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
The Speakeasy is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork.
Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows that you like. Tell your friends. And please, join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.